Hello, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State. And we are here today to hopefully help each one of us, especially today we're going to look into why we were created. I know so many times, that's a question that people just continually have. Why was I created? What am I supposed to be doing? Of all the questions, that's probably one of the most predominant ones there is by far. And everybody seems to have that question. Well, years ago, I was reading through the Bible and saw something that was interesting to me, and especially dealing with that subject. And it has really directed my focus in a certain way. And we want to look into that today. If you've got your Bible and you got the New Testament, we want to look into that today. Before we do, though, we just want to start out by, I've been getting so many calls over the last, I happen to be on what's called a prayer chain, and from a group of people in Yakima, Washington, which is about 20 miles from here, or 20 whatever, about 20 miles from here. And what the dealings with is so many people are having cancer. And it seems to be the new big industry around here. There have been so many facilities put in to treat cancer around Yakima. And most of them are very traditional, and not mixing the new knowledge with the old knowledge. And we don't subscribe to just going to one and ignoring the other totally. But the old knowledge is, of course, just chemo and radiation to destroy the cancer. But we know that from God's gifts and in the earth, that He has already created many things that are for the healing of the nations. We see that in the kingdom to come, we know that there is trees that bear fruit every season. And the leaves of those, the Bible says, are for the healing of the nations. Well, this earth is, in many ways, a poor reflection of the things that are in heaven to come. And so here there's a curse on the earth and a corruption. However, we should look also to those things that God has given us here on earth, that He wants for healing and wholeness. Now, we know that the curse is on the earth and that there is a matter of death on the earth, but many people die before they should. In fact, the Bible talks about that. He says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." Well, we don't want to openly participate in that. We already know that lots of things we can die from just because we don't know, being ignorant. Well, God wants His people that He loves to not be ignorant. And so we should look to what He has created, and there's many things out there that He has created that are there for our blessing and for our healing. And I'm certainly not an expert by any means. I'm not a doctor, a medical doctor at all. My doctorate is in ministry, but we look, doctorate in ministry is a matter of that basically because I love people. And I want to see people made whole. I want them made whole, spirit, soul, and body. I want their relationship with God to be established if they don't have one. And if they do have one, I want it greatly increased. Pardon me while I drink some water. So I want strength and health for the body of Christ in the earth. Now, God loves us. He loves you. And he cares about not just your spiritual well-being and that you have eternity with him and blessings forevermore, and it's going to be a life, eternal, lifelong learning. And he wants you strengthened and be built up, and that you might be a praise and a glory in the earth. And so we want things that are healthful. And I know just this last summer, there's a couple reports that came out. I think there was heard about one in the about the middle of summer and one towards the fall. And I don't, as far as I know, they were two separate reports. They might have been the same one. But I believe it was two separate reports that were studying vitamin D. And then also, I think there was something about a vitamin D3. And what we see there was that people that had fairly large doses of vitamin D had 50 to 60% less cancer than those who didn't have a good proportion of vitamin D. And, of course, the government, I think, says that we're supposed to have, I'm not sure what their recommended rates are, if it's 200 or 400 units. But actually, what these other reports were was that any place from 2 to 6,000 units. 2,000 units was for younger people. But as people grow older, if they're over 40, that what I heard was that they're supposed to have a minimum of about 3,000 to 4,000 on up to about 6,000 units. And these, what happens is that, of course, vitamin D comes from the sun. Now, the sun, lots of people are saying that the sun is bad and everything, but if you look at the incidence of those people that live down near the equator, where they get plenty of sun, the ratio of the amount of cancer is far smaller than it is for those in northern latitudes. And so vitamin D is also tied to, as far as how one feels, not just your health, but also I believe that tied to two mental things as well as your attitude and other things. And so we look at things that are inexpensive, and we can see that this is, might seem as a plug for someplace, but there is on the internet a place, I think it's the largest one in North America, I'm not positive, but it's called SwansonVitamins.com, and a very inexpensive and good quality vitamins are there. And but it's something that we should look into definitely, to not just go only by what the medical people say. Because in some places the medical people intermix as far as nutrition and their treatments, and some people are only one side or only the other side. Well, I think if we are blinded by going either one extreme or the other extreme, we're off balance. And so we need to look into what God has already provided for us, rather than just by those things that man has created by himself. So we're looking towards the health of people, and especially when we can spend maybe a dime, 12, 15 cents a day on something that can reduce our rates of cancer 50 to 60% is what the statistics showed with something so inexpensive as vitamin D, and putting 2,000 to 6,000 units of that in our diet. If those reports are true, then we should certainly take notice of that. And it was a pretty overwhelming evidence that that's a very dramatic amount when it's a 50 to 60% reduction in cancer. So we look at that. We look at many things like turmeric. We look at you might say, well, what's turmeric? Well, if you're in the kitchen, you can hear about or see perhaps turmeric in one of your things you have in your cabinet for seasoning, or things there's something called graviola, and it according to the few about 15-20 pages that I read on the subject was that it very much attacks cancer cells, and it doesn't it goes into a body and it leaves the healthy cells alone, but it goes seeks out the cancer cells and attacks those, and it's very effective according to at least the report that I read as far as whether you have prostate cancer or colon cancer or breast cancer or liver or lung, that it really attacks those things. And so again, that was called graviola. Now, some of those things we need, because of our diets, we don't have the right bacteria. There's good bacteria and there's bad bacteria. And so sometimes we need to have good bacteria in our gut. And to be able to use the vitamins and nutrition that we get, because other things that we may have or may have destroyed the probiotics or the good bacteria that we have. So I would encourage you to do study on your own. And so we're not part of that, what God says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. God loves you. He wants you to live out your days. And we're going to see here in this program, we want to get into the book of Ephesians and see the very first chapter, see just what God wants and how our lives can be much fuller and we can find out the purpose for our lives. So let's just spend the minutes that we have left today in this first chapter of Ephesians. If you have a Bible, the New Testament is the last quarter of the Bible, and this is probably in that last quarter, probably at least maybe about halfway through that. And so it's just after the book of the Gospels and the book of Acts and Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you go past a book called Galatians and you come to the book of Ephesians. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we just ask that you open our hearts to read and to hear your word today, and to find your purpose for us, because we know that you are a loving God and you greatly care about your children, and you care about those that have rejected you as well, that you love them just as much. even though that they have perhaps turned away for a time. And Father, we know that you only have two type of people on the earth, those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. And we just pray that those that are about to be saved might come into a loving relationship with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul was, he's not one of their original 12, but it certainly appears that he is God's choice to replace Judas Iscariot. I know the other disciples did choose lots and pick somebody to replace him, but we see that Jesus appeared in a striking vision that wasn't just for him, but it was such a bright light it caused everybody that was with him that they could see this great light, but they couldn't understand the voice, and Paul could hear the voice as well, and he was saying, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus Christ, the one who you are persecuting." So this is that Paul that was responsible for the deaths and the beatings and the persecution of many Christians for some time, but yet he was chosen by God to probably suffer more than any other Christian of that age, of many times being stoned and left for dead and beaten with whips and everything, but yet he had this great passion for God after God personally appeared to him. So let's go on, verse 3, and find out what God has for you and for me. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Wow. We see here that, what do we see? We see here that God has blessings for us in heavenly places, but you know, this is the thing about the earth, that there's a spirit behind the things that happen in the natural. What's going on in the spiritual realm? Because if things keep going on in your spiritual realm for a long period of time, then things manifest in the earthly realm. So we see here that God has blessings. He has every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now the question is, are you in Christ? Because this is where the blessings are, and he wants them for you and for me. It says he chose us in him, talking about before the foundations. He talks right here that saying that this was even beforehand, that he chose you and chose me to be in him. He's calling each one of us. The Bible distinctly says that he doesn't want anybody to perish, but that all might have everlasting life. That is God's direct will for you and for me. He wants us all to receive the blessings. Now, is everybody going to receive blessings of God? No, not everybody is, but yet that's God's will for you and for me and for everybody. So let's be about God's will and find out more. Okay, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wow. To be holy and without blame. That's a position I want to be in. I want to be holy. I want to be without blame. And it says that the only way basically that we are that way is that we're in him and we're in that love of his, having predestinated us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So he has already purposed that he has planned out for us a good will, a good destiny. His purpose is that we be adopted as sons. And it's how do we come? And this, when he says sons, he's talking generically that he's calling all of us to be his sons. And yet he's also saying that we calling all of us to be part of the bride of Christ. So for those of you that are listening that are female, he's calling you to be sons, just like for those that are male, he's calling you to be part of the bride of Christ. So we see this, and we don't want to say, okay, well, I don't like that term, sons, or bride, because I'm of the different gender. No, it's because of his love for us. He's speaking these things in as far as relationship. Remember, the sons, when this was written, were the ones that inherited. They were the ones that took over the family business. They were the ones that became the heads of the family. So he's calling us to be his sons, that we're not slaves. This is the time of slaves, of servants, of people that would become bond slaves, that by their own will to receive, to get them out of debt, that they would go to somebody, if you get me out of debt, I will serve you for so many years. So they offer their service to them. They would then pay off the debt to somebody else, and then they would be indebted to them to serve so many years. So that's a matter of servants and slaves. But God has called you and me to be sons, part of the bride of Christ. So this sons is a position of a place where not just as children, where you're raised up and you just do whatever the master wills or the father wills or the mother wills, but as sons, it's a place that you grow up also into a blessing and authority and positions of responsibility and authority in that household, to a place that even that you're helping direct things. And so he has called us to be predestined to this adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. In other words, there's not adoption through some other way to God. It's through Jesus Christ that we are adopted to God. And this is according to his good pleasure. He doesn't do this grudgingly. He loves you. And he wants you to prosper. He wants you to be successful. He wants to see you succeed. He wants the very best for you. He wants you rewarded. And remember, he says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's because he loves us. Now, this reward of he doesn't just reward anybody, though. It says those who diligently seek him. And so he wants people that truly love him and love other people. You see, he even tells us that you cannot love God and hate your brother. That's clear in the Word of God, that if you say you love God, that you are a liar if you hate your brother, who you do see, and say that you in turn though love God who you do not see. We go on especially to this next verse. Now this is the first of three places in this chapter that are of special notice. And I'm going to back up just a little bit to read the preceding phrase so we catch this. Okay, having predestinated us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Okay, what is your purpose in life? We see here that our purpose in life is to be to the praise of his glory, the praise of his glory, of his grace towards us. So our life is supposed to be a thanksgiving, a praise, a joy. And we'll see this two more times in this first chapter. And you realize that if you and I come to a place of doing what we were created to do, then we are going to be most satisfied. It's just like anything that man creates. It's created for a purpose or a multitude of purposes in a certain area. And as long as that piece of creation is doing those things, then it's being used in a way that gives glory to its maker. And we say, thank you, we couldn't have done those things without that creation that man has done. Well, so it is here, that you and I were created for praise and thanksgiving to God's glory, our Creator's glory. So our Creator created us, and it's for praise and glory of him. So we are to be brought into this fellowship with him, and this is by, he's waiting on our, partly on our will. He's there with his part of receiving to us. He talks about Jesus Christ as far as he stands in at our door and knocks. And so he's waiting for us to open the door to him. And he says that if we do open the door, he will come in and live and sup. And in other words, when you sup, that's talk about having dinner, but it's also about a life of abiding and living. So our Creator comes in to live in us, so that we're not just on the outside talking about him. So we talk about him doing this or doing that. It all of a sudden becomes a matter of we. It's a matter of awesome respect and for him, for our Creator. But then it's also that he has chosen us to be in him. This term in him is repeated many times in Scripture. And I know that's one of the things that sometime in the future, hopefully within the next year or so, I'll have some time to just study that. Because there's some very significance of being in him. There's a position of great power and authority released from our Creator when we are in him. It talks about that as far as Jesus Christ, when he abides in his Father, that we are also supposed to be, we are called to abide in him, and he in us, and his words to abide in us. Well, this is what the Bible declares about the angels, that they do nothing except according to the word of God. Now, in other words, you and I just speaking to the angels won't do any good. However, if we are speaking God's word, then the angels can do something, because we are speaking God's word. Because the word clearly says that they do nothing except according to the word of God. Now, it doesn't have to be the word of God coming out of his mouth. It can be the word of God coming out of your mouth or my mouth. Because it's the word of God that they respond to. So we need to be busy about getting the word of God in our mind, past our mind, down into our heart, and then coming out of our heart, because it has germinated there, It has filled our heart, and therefore it begins to come out of our heart, and when it comes out through our mouth and through our deeds. Well, then it is bringing forth fruit. Well, that brings glory and praise to God. It's a matter of His words, as the Bible says, as Jesus Christ said, if my words abide in you, if I'm abiding in you, if you're abiding in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. That the works that I have done, these and greater works that you shall do. Well, we see miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles in the Bible, especially at the time of Christ. That in various places, he went into towns, town after town, where everybody was healed. Every demon was cast out. And as far as people were raised from the dead, and it wasn't just for the Jews. We see that people from Samaria were coming over. We see Phoenicians coming. We see also, it talks about Damascus from Syria, and Damascus coming down. So these are foreigners that are coming down, and anybody that's coming to Jesus is getting healed. Now, the Word of God says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He doesn't change. So we've seen here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, that we were created, you and I, for the praise of the glory of His grace. So let's go on and see what else it says in chapter 1, 7 now. In Him we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins, according to the richness of His grace. What is forgiveness? What is redemption? Forgiveness, and well, what is sin? I mean, why do we need to be forgiven? Well, what is sins? Sins is missing the mark. That's as simple as can be. It's a matter of some of us can miss it by a long, long, long way. Or some of us can hit sort of on the target, but way off the bullseye. We can hit maybe someplace around the target. But either way, you miss the bullseye. And because you miss the bullseye, it's counted as sin, because you miss the mark, the center of the target where we're supposed to hit. So we're all guilty of that. I mean, none of us is free from guilt at all. Except when we come to Jesus Christ. We come to our Creator, God Almighty, and He has forgiveness. It says right here, forgiveness of those sins. And because that, it says, because of the richness or the riches of His grace. You see, He's gracious, He's loving, and He wants to forgive. But does everybody forgiven? You see, all of our sins were paid for when Jesus was on the cross. All of our sins were paid for. But that doesn't mean everybody receives it. Even though God wants everybody to receive it, God says that He wants no one to perish. However, that doesn't mean by any means that everybody ends up being saved. Lots of people leave this earth with a being about to be saved or almost saved, but they don't get saved. They don't come into relationship with God, their Creator. That's not God's will, but they have chosen to turn away as far as God's grace and God's mercy. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. It's redemption is a buying back. It's a restoration. It is like God's purpose that, you see, is having our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And according to my understanding of Scripture, and I'm sure several people may disagree with me, but I understand Scripture that everybody's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But it talks about some people's names being blotted out. Now, this is for those that do not trust and accept what God has given to us. And that's the forgiveness of sins and accepting Him as the Lord of our lives. Now, lots of people want us to receive God as a forgiving God, but then they want their sins forgiven. But then what they don't like is perhaps for Jesus to come into their heart, and especially for the Holy Spirit to come in and change them and make them the kind of person God wants them to be. They still are very content in running their own lives, even though they're making a mess out of it. They want to have control, total control of their lives, and yet want forgiveness of sins. Well, it's a package deal. It's a matter of God wants to forgive our sins. He has made provision for it. It's already been done through Jesus Christ, but yet it doesn't take effect except for those who believe in Him and trust in that work that He's done, and also trust in Him to come into their heart and run their lives. They still want to run everything themselves. And we're in a big, big mess in this world because people want to run everything themselves. So we look here. We see that redemption is a buying back. It's bringing back that which has been marred or sold or pawned off. So it's not just something that's been put in the pawn shop, but it's been repurchased, bought back, but then it's been put in brand new and into perfect working order. So all the damaged parts are restored. It's made whole. It's been basically a new creation. Instead of the old man or the old woman there, there's a new creation. Now, this new creation has a beginning. There was the original creation, but then here's this new creation begins when a person turns their life over to their Creator. That's the beginning process. You see, Bible talks about that we have been saved, that we are being saved, and we shall be saved. All three terms, that it's an ongoing process. That relationship can be restored immediately, right now, today, with your Creator. But then the Bible clearly states in Romans 12, 2, that it says, don't be conformed to this world. But it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when we come to God, to our Creator, ask Him to be our Lord and our Savior, our relationship with God is established. However, there now comes the matter of this ongoing salvation, where we're being careful of not being conformed by this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, the renewing of our mind comes from the Word of God, because it has life and power and energy, and it's light. It's true light from God that gives that light, gives life to man. So we see here that this redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins according to His richness of grace is for you and for me. That's why we see that there's two types of fantastic people in this world, those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. And if you can't say that you're already saved, I just ask you to repeat this after me. That's right, go ahead, say that. Father, forgive my sins. See, that's the easy part, because we ask God to forgive our sins. Now, the next step is a little bit harder, because that's to ask Jesus, come into my heart. That's right. Go ahead. Say that. Jesus, come into my heart. The third part now is what lots of people balk at. And I have seen people that were actually demon-possessed. They had no problem at all saying, Father, forgive my sins. But those demonic spirits all of a sudden take over the person, and their voices radically changed. Big man voices coming out of little women. And it's demonic spirits that would not pray, make me the kind of person you want me to be. You see, the demonic spirits don't want Jesus to be in your life. They don't want God, the Creator, to come into my life or your life. They resist, and they're violent. They can throw chairs around and throw people, push people around until you plead the blood over them and bind those evil spirits in Jesus' name, that they be still, so that the person inside can hear, that those spirits don't destroy their hearing. And so those spirits are bound, so the people can hear and be set free by their own will, that they can choose to come be set free and to have Jesus come into their life. And I've seen this just in the last couple months, and it's remarkable. I've seen it happen a couple times to a woman and to a man the following month, last month. And it's just wonderful to see people that are violent and have evil spirits controlling their lives, that they're set free in the name of Jesus. We see here in the next verse it says that not only do we have this forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all the things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him who also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Now, two more times, so that's three times that we see here that it said, like, that we should be to the praise of his glory. We find that in verses 6. We find that in verse 12. We find that in verse 14. Why were you and I created? We were created to be to the praise of his glory. And it's only when we are to the praise of his glory that we come into a place of walking and talking and living and breathing in a place that God has created this for. See, God created you for blessings. He loves you. But we have to come in and realize that those blessings are really not only to bless us, but they are also that we might be to the praise of his glory. He wants to show off his kids. He wants to show off you, that he wants to bless you and then make you a blessing to others. You see, when you become so blessed by him, then you show off his glory. And that's his purpose. He loves you. He wants you to be so blessed that you become a praise to his glory. As we read that, we see several things. One of the things is that we are to abound in all wisdom and prudence. Now, what might be another name for prudence is understanding. So he wants us to be full of wisdom and understanding. And that's his desire for you. And he wants you to be the mystery of his will made known to you. Well, the mystery of his will is in the Word of God. We look specifically towards the New Testament to see the mystery of his will, because much of the Old Testament was just leading up. It was like a pre-looking forward. We were looking forward to, in the Old Testament, there's always these sacrifices after sacrifices, because there's this, the Word of God says there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. But it was always these innocent and also perfect animals. You couldn't bring an animal that was not in any ways there's any deform or defect in it, that it was not acceptable. Just like this is all pointing to Jesus Christ, in whom there was no sin. You see, he did not miss the mark like the rest of us. He was that perfect sacrifice, and only the perfect sacrifice could be acceptable. It was only the perfect sacrifice that was acceptable to the place that one could come and have sins completely cleansed. Well, that's why Jesus came, was to not only show us the way to the Father, to our Creator, but then also to take away sins so that we could come to him. See, he says directing us to the Father, our Creator, but he was also providing the way for us to go. Remember, Christianity, probably at least a half dozen or more times, maybe up to a dozen times in the New Testament, it talks about Christianity was called the way. And it wasn't until years later that it was called Christianity. So several times in the book of Acts, and I think in other places, it's referred to as the way. And so it was a part of Judaism. In other words, it was those Jews and Gentiles that believed that the fulfillment of the promises of God in the Old Testament had come about, and they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so it was called the way, until it became called Christians, and then Christianity, many years later. So we see here that his desire for you and for me is that we might abound in wisdom and in prudence, that we might know the mystery of God. It says that we might obtain an inheritance. God has inheritance. You see, that's what a position of a son is. A son and a daughter receives inheritance. Now, the servants and slaves don't receive inheritance. It's for those who are sons and daughters. And that's what he has called you to. If you were thrown out, if you did not have your own father in your home when you grew up, or didn't have your own mother, this is God's calling us all to be adopted into him. You see, we have often followed our own way, and we've been going by our father, who's the god of this world, which some may call the devil or Satan, or some may not. But he has called us to be his children because he loves you and me. He has provided not only the love, but he has provided, because of the love, the way for forgiveness and then also the way to come to Him in every respect. And so He asks us to pray that our sins be forgiven. He asks us to pray, Father, forgive my sins. Then we are supposed to pray for asking Jesus to come into our heart. And then we pray also for the Holy Spirit in us. See, when you receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God also comes. And then we pray that we say, make me the kind of person, Lord, that you want me to be. And so we've walked our lives and talked our talk. But now we come to that place of saying, Creator, you're the one that made me. You know how I best fit together. And for the greatest blessing in my life. So I'm going to pray that your kingdom come and your will be done in my life just as it is in heaven. You say here in this scripture that you have blessed us in heaven with all spiritual blessings. And I believe you right now. And so I ask you that my life might be in tune with those blessings, that those blessings might not be just kept up there, but they might be released now in my life, because I'm praying this prayer to make me the kind of person you want me to be. That's what I want, Lord. I want to be made the kind of person you want me to be, and that will release your kingdom come and your will be done in me on earth as it is in heaven. So no longer do I want those spiritual blessings just in heaven. I want those to come down into my life and my family's life right now. And I will give you praise and thanksgiving and glory for that. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. You are a mighty God. You're my creator. And we want to be your children, and we want to be sons and daughters of God that obey you and just are become to the praise of your glory, because we know that we are going to be the happiest and the most joyful as you come into every area of our life. We know that it may sometimes a little bit of pruning hurts for a little bit, but it's because you prune us because you love us and you want us to be even more fruitful and more blessed than ever before. You want to prune us in the way that we are clean, as the word says, but also that prune us so we become strong and that our fruit isn't fruit that gets battered up, but fruit that remains, that grows the full harvest time, and fruit that is not infected by the corruption of the world, but fruit that is in the world, but yet shows forth your glory. That's what we want in our lives. We want you in our lives. So we thank you for your word today, and we thank you that in this program we've seen three times in this one scripture, chapter 1 of Ephesians, that you created everyone on earth to be for the praise of your glory. So we want to be what we are created for, because we know, just like anything that man creates, when it's used for the purpose it was created, it is most useful and most blessed. And so we want to be just like that. We want to be to the praise of your glory, that we might be most blessed and that your name might be exalted in the earth. Thank you, Lord. We thank you all for listening today. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you and from South Central Washington. I want to give you an address here. I have given you an address sometimes in the past of Parker, Washington, and I want to give you another address. For any of those that want to write, I would be glad to send you out a book, and a free book, and it's my new address is 540, and it's Cowan Lane, C-O-W-I-N Lane, and it's Wapato, W-A-P-A-T-O, Washington, 98951. And I believe if you sent anything to the previous address, they would forward it to me. So, but from now on, if you could write to me at, once again, it is Dr. Don Cowan or Global Redeeming Ministries. And it's, the address is 540 and it's Cowan Lane, Wapato, Washington, 98951. And Cowan Lane is spelled the same as my name. It's C-O-W-I-N. I just want to spend the last minute with you in just praying for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that each one of these people listening might be truly blessed, that they might know you as their Creator and Lord and Savior, and that health and wholeness come into their bodies and strength from you, and that they might know the joy of your salvation in every area of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We hope to be again with you a week from now. We may not be. We may have another speaker here, but we will be back and from week to week, and looking forward to spending the time with you. God bless you all. Bye-bye.